Good morning to you all, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and remove it and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. As you may know, Pastor and Mrs. Otero are on a well-earned vacation this week, and we are pleased to have our brother Ramil Yalde with us, and he will be bringing the message today from God's Word. Pastor and Mrs. Otero are expected to return in a week, and Pastor will be back in the pulpit next Sunday, Lord willing. Directly following this worship service, we will have our fellowship luncheon, and if you're a visitor, we hope that you will join us today for a time of good food and fellowship. We'll be conducting our second worship service today at Pacific Hills Manor at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and all are invited to participate. As is our custom, on the last Sunday of the month, all other activities are canceled this afternoon. One final note, the ladies' Bible study will be tomorrow, Monday, right here at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Our scripture reading for the month, which is printed in your bulletin today, is from Psalm 57, verse 5. It reads, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Let us begin now our worship with the singing of hymn number 13, "Praise Ye the Lord, the Almighty." As we continue our worship, please turn to hymn number 224, "I Know Whom I Have Believed."
I know that God's love has raised your knee.
Please stand now as we sing another great hymn of the faith, hymn number 228, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
Shall we unite our hearts in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to thy presence on this wonderful day of worship, Sunday, that you have granted us. We come and approach you because there is no other salvation in anyone but thee. We come unto you because you have called us from our sins. You have woken us up. You have tapped on our heads and our hearts and our lives. You have become the King of our soul. You have become the Lord of Lords in our life. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful God you are. We need not to seek anywhere else but thee. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us as we proclaim thy word from this pulpit. I ask you to anoint us, every one of us. Open our ears, our hearts, our eyes, that we may be able to serve you with all of our hearts, all of our lives, all of our strength. Heavenly Father, we pray especially for Pastor and Mrs. Otero as they are on vacation. We ask you to give them calm in their life. We ask you to protect them. We ask you to spiritually and physically calm them so they could come back and serve you even stronger. We pray especially for the opportunity we have as we broadcast these messages throughout the world, from east to west, north and south. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us. We ask you that you will reign and you will be the King. We know that we have missionaries out there in the world, that they are being persecuted for thy name's sake, that they are working the work of grace into the people over there and preaching the word. Heavenly Father, you bless them because you have promised, blessed are they that are persecuted. Their rewards will be great. Blessed are they, Heavenly Father, that are going to be persecuted for thy name. They are working in places that there is no facilities like we have here, by hand, by feet, walking miles, driving in rain and in areas that are revolutionary. But Heavenly Father, you save them and you protect your ministry as we call out for people to come out of graves with the power of thy word, and they will come and live. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that we will be wise as to how to spend the offerings that we will receive today. Give wisdom to the pastor and to the deacons of the church as they are going to be thinking about how they would do this. And we know that you love this church and you are protecting it and you are going to be with it till the end, Lord. And we ask all of these in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb, are you fully the burden of sin.
There's power in the blood,
in power in the blood.
Good you or evil, a victory win.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power,
power, wonder working power
in the blood,
in the blood of the Lamb.
There is
power,
power,
wonder working power
in the
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 30, verses 1 through 20. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 198. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them, David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drove before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Thank you, Father, for your great salvation by which you adopted us into your family through the obedience and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this great high privilege to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace to worship you and bring our prayers before you. We love you, Lord, and are secure in the knowledge that you are for us and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We rest in the knowledge that our intercessor, our great high priest, is at your right hand. We thank you for the victory over sin and all adversity through him. We pray for Pastor and Mrs. Otero that you would grant them a time of relaxation and refreshing and return them to us safely. We pray now for your servant, our brother, Ramil Yalde, as he comes to deliver the teaching from your word. We ask that you would bless him, anoint him as he brings the message. Give us understanding that we may apply the wisdom of your word to our lives. If there are any listening here and on the radio and the internet who do not know you, we pray that in faith they would hear and believe and you would save them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, brother, for reading the Word of God. And thank you, choir, for that awesome song. And it's just one word that would explain that. It's just awesome. There's nothing else to say. The Word God is awesome. I hardly know where to begin today. If I had 3 or 4 hours, maybe I would start you with 1 Samuel 20 and walk you through the whole 1 Samuel 31. But I would simply like to state that this picture that we saw in 1 Samuel is about David. And if you know anything about me, I'm not going to talk to you about David. I'm going to talk to you about the David, which is Jesus Christ. David is named by God the Holy Spirit as one of the greatest heroes of faith in Hebrews. You will be relieved that I'm not going to take 4 hours, but maybe half an hour or so to do this. And I'm convinced, though, there's much more. There's much more in here than just a picture of David in a battle with Amalekites. I'm convinced that that the Lord Jesus Christ has hidden the truth of the gospel in this passage. And I want to show you the gospel in this story in the Old Testament. They say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So we're going to look at a picture. And hopefully we'll get more than 1,000 words. And we will meditate upon it. In here, we're going to look at two things. What did Satan do in this story? And then what did Christ do? When Satan does something, something happens to us. But when Christ does something, something else happens to us. And we're going to look at that in this passage. We're going to look at the power of Satan and sin. We're going to look at the status of mankind under his rulership. Then Christ comes into the picture. And then we're going to look at his recovery and his spoil. The city of Ziklag that our brother read is a city in Philistine that was given to David by King Achish, king of Gath. David fled from Saul in the previous chapters because he didn't want to engage him. And sometimes that's the right thing to do. You have to flee. You don't stay and go head on with the enemy. Sometimes you got to flee. So David flees, goes to Philistine, and the king of Gath, Achish, gives him a city. And the city is called Ziklag. In chapter 27, David goes and destroys Amalekites. I mean, he's winning the war. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, I mean, when they won the war, they won it. It wasn't just shooting in the caves and trying to get something out. They really won the war. So Amalekites are upset at what David has done. And now they have become the enemies of Israel. So David, for the next three chapters, goes, and I'm not going to get into that, but as he's coming back to his city, Ziklag, the first thing we see is in verse 1. So if you would go to 1 Samuel again, chapter 30, verse 1. And I will endeavor to look at some of these scriptures with you today. And 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. While David and his men were away, they were endeavoring to secure peace with Israel. They were doing the right thing for God. The Amalekites invaded that city and burned it with fire." In here, we see the power of Satan, the power of sin over mankind. The city is a picture of God's people. And you say, what are you talking about? Ziklag is a picture of God's people? Yes, if you step back three chapters to 1 Samuel 27, and if you allow me to show you in verse 6, 1 Samuel 27, verse 6, we read, "Then Achish gave him that Ziklag that day." He gave it to him. Did David work for it? No. Did David deserve it? No. He gave him the city. And it reminds me of John chapter 6. Do you recall? John chapter 6, 39 and 37 and 39. It says that the Father giveth, what? Me. All that the Father that giveth me shall come to me. And it reminds me of verse 39 of John 6. It says, "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." The city is a picture of God's people, believers, that has been given to Jesus, to David. People of God, remember that the enemy Satan, what does he do? Does he come and attack you when you're sitting in church on Sunday at 11 a.m.? Does he come and take you and invade your life when you are on your knees praying? And look what happens in verse 1 again of Samuel 30. The Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. When did they come in? When David wasn't there. When he was not protecting the city. And I got to tell you one thing. People of God, if we don't have Jesus in our heart, if he is not protecting us, we are under the invasion of Satan. We have no hope. There is nobody protecting. Can I fight? Yes, but I got burned. Can I defend? Somehow, but who is now the boss? And that's what happened to the people of God. Now, one interesting word in 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 is the word invasion. Invade. And I start looking at that. And the word in Hebrew means pashat, which means obviously to invade, to put off, to strip. And you know, one thing that happens, when Satan comes in, he just doesn't slap you on the finger and say, "Bad boy, you know, you're a sinner. Bad boy, don't do that. Go to your room for a couple of days." He doesn't do that. You know what happens? Invasion, invade, is the same word that's used to what happened to Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. Do you remember Joseph's brothers? What did they do to him? And I will read this. You don't need to turn to it. It's on verse 23 of Genesis 37. It says, "And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, and that they stripped, pashat, Joseph out of his coat."
His royalty is removed. Sin doesn't just slap you on the fingers and say, bad boy, bad boy, don't do this anymore. We are stripped. We have nothing. We have been burned with fire. We have become ashes. And that's what happened to humankind, didn't it? What happened when our father Adam fell? He was stripped. He was kicked out of the garden. You have no room in the garden anymore. Why? Because I sinned. Because he sinned. So this is a big deal. And I'm telling you the truth. Sin brings you down to nothing. Sin brings us down to nothing. And it's no wonder that they burned it with fire. They just didn't, just brought some buildings down and sort of made sure that they knew that the enemy was there. I mean, they burned it down with fire. The picture of judgment of God upon unbelievers, upon anyone that doesn't have God in their lives. A picture of God upon mankind. Now what happens? The second thing that happens. The title changes now. That means these people of Ziklag, the citizens of Ziklag, now become something else. Where they were free to do what they wanted to do. They were free to go where they wanted to go. But in the next two verses of 1 Samuel 30, verse 2 and 3, we see that their status has changed. And this is what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 2 and 3. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Can you imagine the pain and grief they felt? Their wives, I mean, their children, their houses, I mean, everything, their cattle, their computers, their PCs, their Jaguars, everything is gone. It's gone. When David and his men came home, they saw their city reduced to ashes. There was nothing left. Amalekites had taken all the women, all the children captive. And you know what happened to us? We were taken captive when our father Adam sinned. We have all been taken captive, one by one. But now, what happens to these citizens of Ziklag? They have become prisoners of war. They have now have no freedom anymore. They have nothing to say about what they're going to do. They are captives, POWs. Now, I tell you one thing. If we are living our lives without Christ, be sure of one fact. We have been taken captive. We are in the bondage of Satan and sin. Let's go to Psalm 102. Let me show that to you. Psalms 102. Verse 19 and 20. The Bible is full of us and shows us that we are prisoners and we are in bondage of sin. But this verse is very powerful. Psalms 102, verse 19 and 20. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth. And verse 20. To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. If we are prisoners of war under Satan, we have been appointed to die. I mean, you could be driving a Ferrari with the top down in a sunny day. I mean, you could be enjoying your status at work, and you could be having fun, your life. But if we don't have Christ in our life, we are appointed to die. And that's why Jesus says that I've come to preach deliverance to who? To the captives. Luke 4:18. So, we've looked at the power of Satan and sin over mankind. We've looked at that the mankind is taken captive. Our status has changed. There's no more freedom. The boss has changed. And now, thank God the story doesn't end there. And now let's go on. In verse 4, 5, and 6 of 1 Samuel 30, verse 4, 5, and 6. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. How do you think David felt? Working what he thought is the will of God. Secure peace in Israel. Everything is gone. Everything. Even his two wives are gone. I'll come back to this at the end of the sermon if I have time. About his wives. But what did he do? That's a good picture for us. What did David do when he was faced with this terrible tragedy? What should we do when we know that we're in trouble with God? I mean, what did America do when the planes went into the tower? What did I do when I walk home and I got a call at midnight that your cousin, 18 years old, is no more there, he's gone? What do we do when we come home and we got a letter on our desk saying, honey, sorry, but I'm leaving you. By the way, I'm taking the kids, the house, everything. You go find yourself another room. I'll see you in 2 weeks in court. What do you do? What do you do when your sons and your daughters and our parents are rebellion against God? What do we do? What do we do when we're faced with tragedies in our lives? Because all of us have them. This is part of us. God created us this way. And look what David did. Lift up their voices and wept. Lift up your voice and weep to God Almighty. Book of Psalms is filled with this. And no wonder David did that. He wrote most of the Psalms, didn't he? Psalm 18. Let's go to Psalm 18. Look what David says. Psalm 18, verse 6. Psalms 18, chapter 18, verse 6. Let me show you an example. The psalmist says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. And what? And cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. That's what David did. In the time of distress, in the time of need, in the time where he had nothing, he cried out to God, and God heard him. Citizens of the city of Ziklag. I'm not talking about the Christians and the believers of Bethel. I'm talking about the citizens of New Jerusalem, the believers, the church of God. Hear me. Lift up your voice and weep to God. Cry unto him. You know, broken and a contrite heart is a what? Is a prerequisite for salvation. No proud man will ever cry unto God. because he can do it on his own. No mighty man is going to go seek help with a God he cannot see, because he can do it on his own. That's why a broken and a contrite heart is a condition for repentance and salvation. That's why we read in Matthew, one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in pocket. No. Blessed are the poor in the spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in the spirit. A broken. Why are the poor in the spirit blessed? Someone may ask. Why? Because the kingdom of God is theirs. That's the blessing. The blessing isn't that if you're poor in the spirit, our church will be 500,000 people. That's not the blessing. The real blessing is what? Kingdom of heaven. It's heaven. It's eternity. It's God. Psalms, let me show you another verse. Let's go to Psalm chapter 34. Book of Psalms, chapter 34. Verse 18. I mean, isn't this wonderful when we read these verses? What does it say? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. He is close to them that are broken. He's close to the David and his armies because they're broken before God. And what? And saveth such as be of a what spirit? Of a what heart? Contrite heart. This is the promise of our God. He's close, he's nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saves such be of a contrite spirit. Isn't this wonderful that we see this in this parable or this story? Now you may ask, preacher, how do I get to have this contrite heart and spirit? How do I do it? Where do I go? And I show you another verse in Isaiah 66, verse 2. There's nothing you can do. You know, that is the gospel. But there's one thing you can do. There's nothing you can do. But now, right now, you're doing one thing. Let's read that. Isaiah 66, verse 2. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand had made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. Here comes the highlight. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit. Here is the finale. And trembleth at my word. Do you want to get a contrite spirit and a heart? You got to do the word, go to the word of God and tremble, because he is not joking around with you. Do you want to get that spirit broken? Do we want to cry out to God for salvation? We got to sit under the teachings of the Word of God and tremble, because the end is coming. If we're not his, we will be in a big trouble. I tell you the truth. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 30, verse 6. And I have learned so much by reading this verse 6 in my personal life. And David, this is verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the madness of their grief, David's men turned on him as if it was his fault. If the fight is won, who takes the glory? The soldiers, right? We won. But if you lose the battle, Oh, poor commander. Take him out. I mean, he's fired. It was his fault. It was his doing. If the church grows, oh, members, everybody, believers, but something goes wrong, fire the pastor. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I know a pastor who's in this position right now. And we got to pray for him. Pray for him. We got to bring our souls in his word and in his grace. He is the only one that could help us. But David, what did he do? When they wanted to kill him, they wanted to stone their king, their general. What did he do? But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Does that end there? No. His God, he knows whom he has believed. It is his God. It is Lord Jehovah. When you got trouble, when you got heartaches, you don't need to go to a preacher. You don't need to go to a priest. You go to the priest. You go to Jesus. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself in Him. Bury your soul in His Word, in His grace. He is the only one that could help us. Sometimes we just don't know it. Sometimes we can't sense it. I mean, I know people. I mean, we have a lot of persecutions. Since I've grown up in another country, a Muslim country, I've seen persecutions. But sometimes when I look, I mean, I see people being torqued and being squeezed, and God is allowing them to go through these terrible times. Listen, He can help you. I mean, sometimes I'm so heavy that I cry like Jesus, Eli, remember? Eli, lamna sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me? But you know, the Bible says, He is Jehovah Shammah, God next to you, next to your elbow. You can see Him, He's next to you. God is at our side. Why are we afraid? The Word of God says, strengthen me according to thy word. Psalm 119:28. So this is what happened. Satan comes. Now Christ is coming. And in verse 18, I'm going to skip in the middle because we're running out of time. But we're going to, hopefully another time we'll come back to it. But let's skip to verse 18 of 1 Samuel 30. And let's see what Christ did. What did he do? Verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. David, not David and his soldiers, not David and his army. David alone is the focal point. Christ alone is the focal point for our salvation. Nobody else. We don't go to Christ and Paul. We go to Christ. He alone shows us the way. Just imagine if David wasn't there when they walked into that city. What do you think they would do? I mean, they were trying to kill him, right? Stone him. What would they would do? They would just walk away, and I almost positive that they would just disperse among the nations. There's nothing to fight for. But David recovered all. Lord Jesus Christ has recovered all. All by nature, by reason of sin, we had lost everything. We lost paradise with all its joys and glamour. We lost life. We lost hope and peace with God. But Christ has recovered all. That's the good news. Everything. All that the first Adam lost, the second Adam has recovered. David recovered all. Christ recovered all. How did he do it? If I am a believer, how did he recover me? If you are a believer, if we are believers, how did he recover us? You remember the verse in Luke 11? We talk about he goes into the house of a stronger person. and he defeats him, and he takes over, and he divides the spoil. That's how he did it. In Job 29:17, we read, "And I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoils out of his teeth." Satan had us by our teeth. Have you seen those dogs? They have you by the teeth and they don't want to let you go. That's how Satan had us. And God comes in. He plucks the jaws of this Satan. He takes us out of his mouth. That's how he's done it. And David rescued his two wives. Christ has rescued his bride from the hands of the law, from the fires of wrath, from the hands of Satan. Christ has done it. You remember Ephesians 2? But God, who is rich in mercy, while we were dead in our sins, He has quickened us. Remember that? And the end of this preaching. We go to verse 19 and 20. This is awesome. I mean, when Christ recovers all, He recovers all. And look in verse 19. And there was nothing lacking to them. I mean, they didn't break their hands. They didn't cut their fists. They didn't abuse them. They didn't do anything to them, the Amalekites. There was nothing lacking to them. God preserves us. In Psalm 121, the Lord, verse 7, shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul, Brother Robert. Nothing lacking. Now, this is a difficult part. Not sure how am I going to say it, but here it goes. Verse 20. And David took all the flocks of the herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil. This is David's spoil." Can you imagine? They were going to become slaves of Amalekites. Oh, crying. "Oh my God, what am I going to do? Where is David, my husband? Oh, how are we going to eat? Who's going to pay for the bills? Who's going to take the kids home? Who's going to take them to school? What's going to happen to my business? Am I going to win if I'm not in the soccer practice? Who's going to win? Who's going to do all this stuff?" Who? They're worried. Now they're coming back. This is David's spoil. Look what we got. Look at it. We recovered all, plus we got more. Other cattle, other stuff. They took everything. And the point is this. God's elect really lost nothing by our fallen Adam. You know what? If Adam never fell, we could have never known and tasted what? The blessedness and the glory of the redeeming love. If Adam never sinned, how would I know, how would I taste God's love for me? How? Should an angel offer to trade places with this ransomed sinner, I could not be persuaded. It is infinitely a great honor and privilege to be the best, to be the least of God's children, than to be the brightest angel. Because they don't know what redeeming love is. They don't know what being a POW is. They don't know what it means to be saved from the wrath of God. They don't know. Blessed fall, isn't it? How blessed we are. So how do we end this? I know Pastor Otero always says we got to come up with one verse to sort of squeeze everything in, right? And say, this is the conclusion. But I couldn't. I got to talk to him, see how he does it. I came up with 6 verses. So what shall we say? Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 37. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32 of Romans 8. He hath spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Now, listen to me. Not to me, to the word of God. Nay, in all things, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're not just conquerors. We are more. We didn't only get the citizens of Ziklag back. I mean, we got everything back. We got blessings that nobody understands and knows. We are more than conquerors. May God bless His word and put it on our hearts that we will obey Him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your redeeming power, for what You have done through our lives. If we belong to You, we praise Thy name because You are God. If we belong to You, may we proclaim that I am redeemed. I am David's spoil. That is, I am Christ's spoil. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Rolling as a mighty ocean.
just pray? Would everybody stand and join us in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this hour of worship, this hour that is dedicated to you. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the ability. You brought us out of our sins so we could serve you. We thank you, Lord, for the family of God in this church, as you have protected us, and you have brought us, and you have taught us by the power of Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, again, for what you've done in our life and what you're going to do in our life. And we are going to be careful to give you all the glory and honor from now until forever. Amen.